Good morning, church. Good morning to all of our listening audience today. I want to apologize for the time that we've been off the air. We had some technical difficulties that made it hard for us to be on air. And we're back again, and I hope that you can begin listening faithfully. We thank you for your participation by listening to our program Sabbath after Sabbath. This morning, I would like to take your mind to Luke chapter 9. And I'm for those of you that have your Bible handy, I'd invite you to follow with me in Luke chapter 9. I'm going to read verse 26. And it says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory, and in his Father's, and of the holy angels." When I look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 10 and 11, we see there that Peter speaks of the ancient prophets who were being motivated by the Holy Spirit, and they prophesied of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, it says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow." Jesus came, as we all know, and was born in Bethlehem. And from the time he was born until the time he was hung on the cross, he had trials and tribulations and persecutions. The devil constantly tried to kill Jesus. And he was constantly being followed by people who were against his ministry. He was finally put to death, as we know, on the cross of Calvary for each one of us. The prophecies of the Old Testament talk of these sufferings of Jesus Christ for the human race. Those sufferings were not just for the people of Jesus' day, but for all people who will ever live on this earth. The prophecies also talk of the glory of Jesus Christ that would follow after that sacrifice. The second coming of Christ is going to be a glorious event. But it will not be a secret, quiet, unnoticed, private affair. It is going to be something that the whole world will see. In fact, when we look in Matthew chapter 16 at verse number 27, and I hope that you're following along with me, it says there in Matthew 16, verse 27, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." It seems to me that if Jesus is coming back with a multitude of angels, he will be coming back, and it'll be a situation where the whole world is going to know that it is taking place. The glory of God the Father will be revealed at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And you look with me still in Matthew at chapter 25 and at verse number 31. In Matthew chapter 25 at verse 31, it reads like this: "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." Jesus will return in his Father's glory, in his own glory, and with all of the angels of heaven. Luke chapter 9, verse 26 that we just read, it says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." You see, Jesus wants us to talk about his glory. He wants us to tell the world about that glory. He wants us to share with the world this gospel message that was shown to the world through the cross of Calvary. He wants us to share with the people of this world the glory of Jesus Christ and the Father, then they're soon to return to this earth. I've entitled this sermon today, "The Seven Wonders of the World." And the first wonder of this world is the manner in the return or the second coming of Jesus Christ in all of his glory. It will be the greatest event that will ever take place in this world. And I know we have some kind of earth-shaking events that happen around the world. All of the earth-shaking events of the world cannot begin to compare to what is going to take place when Jesus Christ comes back. Every eye will see him, according to Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. Read with me, if you will. Matthew chapter 24 at verse 27 says, "For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And so Jesus is going to come from the east to the west, and the whole world is going to be able to see that. When Peter, James, and John were in the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus' face and his clothes was shining like the sun. In Matthew chapter 17, in verse number 2, you read there what it looked like. Matthew chapter 17, verse 2 says, "And it was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light." So we see there that when Jesus was there on the Mount of Transfiguration, James and Peter and John began to see Jesus for what he really was. His glory was shining out. In Acts 26:13, Paul talks about the brightness of the glory of Jesus Christ on his road to Damascus. It was so bright that it blinded Paul temporarily. And in fact, he had that issue of his sight because of that issue of blindness that he suffered on the road to Damascus. God's glory is beyond our understanding, friends. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12 at verse 29. In Hebrews 12, 29. It says, "For our God is a consuming fire." When Moses was on Mount Sinai with God, his face reflected the glory of God. And it reflected so much of the glory of God, friends, that when he came down off of that mountain and began to visit with the people in the camp, his face was shining with the glory of God, so much so that he had to veil his face from the people. And what about the time? I see you can actually see that in Exodus chapter 34 and 2 Corinthians chapter 3. What about the glory of the angels? When the Father sent Gabriel from heaven to roll the stone away from the tomb in which Jesus was sleeping, the Roman guards fell down on the earth as dead men in the presence of Gabriel. What will it be like, friends, when untold millions of angels come back to this earth in all of the glory of heaven? What will it be like? Is it going to be something that nobody will notice? Only a few people will catch the event? I don't believe so. I believe the scriptures are very clear that this second coming of Jesus is one of the greatest wonders of this world, friends. And that when Jesus comes back, every eye will see, everybody will know what is taking place. The second wonder of the world is the resurrection of the righteous dead. We read here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 22 and 23, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse number 22. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming." Do you understand that? This doesn't happen when we die. It happens at the second coming of Jesus, when we have been given that gift of immortality as a result of our obedience and faithfulness to God. We do not have it today. We're just weak, sinful mortals. We're subjected to a lot of evil in this world. And as a result, we have all kinds of problems in our life. But when Jesus comes, friends, in the twinkling of an eye, things will change. We will become like Jesus. And 1 Corinthians 15, 22 and 23 says it will happen at his coming, not when we die. We don't go to heaven in the presence of God when we pass away. We sleep in the ground until Jesus comes and wakes us up at the resurrection. This is the wonder of the world, friends. Do you have that blessed hope in your heart today? Do you actually believe that the dead will be resurrected at some point in history? You see, there was a lot of controversy over that in the days of Jesus. In fact, Paul used it oftentimes as an entering wedge into the minds of people around him. And he suffered a lot of persecution because he believed that what Jesus had said, that he was the resurrection and the life. Jesus Christ is our friend and our Savior. And if he is our friend and Savior, then we have to believe and we have to have this blessed hope that someday Jesus will return and he will bring back to life all those who have died in faith and love and obedience to him. Praise God for the second wonder of the world, friends, that when we die, everything doesn't come to an end. We have hope beyond the grave. We have the hope that someday soon Jesus will come back and bring a new life into us, and we will live forever in heaven with him. This is represented, I think, in this transfiguration that we saw on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses being there present with Jesus on that mount, showing that there is a resurrection. Moses actually died, but he was brought back to life and taken to heaven. And he appeared on that Mount of Transfiguration, representing all those people down through time who have died, have loved God, have trusted in him, have looked forward to the coming of Jesus, and will someday be resurrected just like Moses was. The third wonder of the world is the translation of the living saints of God. When Jesus returns, many of the righteous saints will still be alive on earth. They will be translated. They will never see death. This is represented by Elijah, who was on that Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus and Moses, who was translated, and he never, ever died. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and beginning at verse 16, it says this: "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." That sounds like it's a pretty noisy event, doesn't it? Doesn't sound very quiet and secretive. "And with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and then the dead in Christ shall rise." Apparently they didn't go to heaven yet. But when Jesus comes back, there's going to be a lot of shouting, the trumpets blowing, the angels, their voice being raised, and everybody's going to know about it. In verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Praise God for that. Life is tough here. Things don't always go our way. We sometimes have real difficulties in life. But when Jesus comes back, friends, whether we're dead or alive, if we have loved Jesus and been obedient and faithful to him, there's coming a time, friends, and we're going to be able to take that trip to heaven with Jesus and with all of the holy angels. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse number 51 through 53, follow with me as I read verses 51 through 53. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." You see, the gift of being faithful to Jesus is this gift of immortality. And when Jesus comes back, he gives this gift to all those who have loved him and been obedient to him, the gift of immortality. It is not going to be a secret event. It will be something that the whole world will be a witness to. This fourth wonder of the world is the judgment of this world. And I know that there are many people don't like to think about or talk about judgment. They don't want to talk about the judgment of this world and how that is presented for them personally. Many people don't want to even think about it. There's a life beyond this one we have here. And there is a judgment that is to come. And many times, even Christians forget about that event that is in the future. And that is the judgment that is to come upon this world, where every man, woman, and child will have to give an account to God for everything they say, and every action that they perform, every thought that goes through their mind, and everything that God convicted them of, and they didn't perform it. We're going to have to answer to God for our whole life. Praise God that we only have to answer to him and not to each other. I'm glad that I'm not your judge. I'm really thankful that you're not mine. I praise God that he is the judge of all people, because he is the only one who can really read the heart. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits." I'm sorry, I'm reading 1 Timothy. I meant that to be 2 Timothy. I knew that didn't sound correct. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Also, you can read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 14. In Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14, it says, "For God shall bring every work into judgment, every act, with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it is evil." Someday, all of us are going to have to stand before the Creator of this world, and we're going to have to give an account for our life. What has happened? Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Jesus is speaking about this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. In Matthew 12, 36, Jesus says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." You see, there are things that we do in our life that are an offense to other people. And sometimes people try to tell us and instruct us and guide us, and the Holy Spirit is convicting them to do that. God uses people to speak to us. Do you believe that?
Amen.
God not only uses His Word, but He uses other people to help guide us and correct us. And sometimes we have to be retold over and over and over again about the same thing. And God will repeat these events in our life. We will have to go through it over and over until we learn the lesson. Some people are slow learners. I had a couple kids like that. They suffered through a lot of problems growing up because they were their own worst enemy. And they didn't want to listen to the counsel from other people. And sometimes as adults, we are the same way. We grow up with this attitude that you can't tell me what to do. Sometimes God sends people to us to speak to us to help guide us into His path. And if it's happening over and over again, the same issues, we ought to stand up and take notice, don't you think? We ought to start praying about the issues that God is bringing to our mind, into our life, so that we can help correct that through the power of God's Spirit and through the abundant grace of God. I'm so glad that we don't judge each other. But you see, I can't read your heart and you can't read mine. And sometimes we make judgments based on actions that we see coming from somebody's life, some word that they've spoken without thinking. And we oftentimes make a judgment on their motivation or their actions. And God never makes a mistake when it comes to judgment. He has never made a bad judgment. We can trust Him that when we come into that time of judgment, we have the blood of Jesus covering us. The good news is that God cannot see your sin or mine when it has been covered with the blood of Jesus. And so it's important for us to cover that blood, that sin up in our life with blood of Jesus by confessing and asking forgiveness and through true repentance, being covered with that shed blood of Christ at Calvary. Now is the day of salvation, friends. Now's the day for us to be judged righteous in the sight of God by the blood of Jesus. Today is the day, is what Paul said, of salvation. Today's the day to make that decision for change. Today's the day to bring about those things that will bring us closer to God. Today is the day of repentance. You see, oftentimes people think about repentance in a really different way than what the Bible teaches it. The Greek word metanoia means turning around, a changing. Which means that when we repent, we ask for forgiveness from God, we confess our sins and say, "God, please bring cleansing to my life." Repentance means that we don't go back and keep doing the same thing over and over. And if people have been pointing this out to us, have been telling us about certain things, repentance is not doing the same thing over and over with the same results. Repentance is changing. Stop doing those things that separate us from God and not doing them anymore. Because if where there is no true repentance, there is no real forgiveness. Does that make sense to you?
Amen.
So if we're going to ask God to forgive us and cleanse us from sin in our life, that means we have to stop doing those things that separate us from God. That's real repentance. And that's what God is calling for in the life of His people today, is for true, real repentance, so that you and I can have true, real forgiveness. Now is the time. Paul said it himself. Today is the day of salvation. And we need to take advantage of that. The fifth wonder of the world is the 1,000 years in heaven with Jesus. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 20. In Revelation chapter 20, beginning in verse number 4, and we're going to read down through verse number 6. Revelation 20, beginning in verse number 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. I want to be in that one. What about you? Amen. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death have no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. I want to be in that first resurrection. I don't want to wake up 1,000 years too late. Because the people that wake up 1,000 years too late suffer the second death, which is eternal death, never to be woken up again. We will have an opportunity in that 1,000-year period of time to be able to review the books in heaven. Now, listen, friends. If things transpire in my life where I miss out on heaven, guess what? When you get there, you're going to be able to go across the books that God has kept a record of everybody's life. You're going to be able to see why I'm not there. And then you will be able to say that God is fair and just in all of his ways. You see, that's what God is going to give us the privilege to do. Not because he wants us to spy on one another, but because he wants to have his character vindicated because of what the accusations were against him by the devil. That God was unfair. That he's not just. And when we get to heaven and we look at the books, like 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, it says here, "Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" When we get to heaven, friends, we're going to have an opportunity to help vindicate the true character of what God is like. And regardless of the lies and misconceptions that the devil has painted God with, we're going to be able to say God is fair and just in all of his ways. We will be able to see all of God's ways and that they are the ones that have been a benefit to every one of us. God was actually, instead of being a reproof from God towards us, we're going to be able to see that God, in his love towards us, was actually preparing us for the kingdom of God, for eternity. So all of the hardships, all the trials, all the corrections and reproofs and instruction that God has given us is not designed to hurt us, but to prepare us for the coming of Jesus, so that you and I could have an eternity in heaven with him. In Revelation chapter 15, at verse number 3, I want you to follow with me on this. In Revelation chapter 15, at verse number 3, and they sang the song of Moses. What is that song? You look at Exodus chapter 15, you can read the song of Moses. And the servant of God and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." We'll be singing that throughout eternity, friends, about how fair and just God really is. In all of his ways, he deals with us faithfully and fairly. And so we have nothing to fear in the judgment, because when we stand before God's throne, we don't have to tremble for the fear that we're going to be destroyed. We can go there with total confidence because Jesus is there with us, and he has covered us with his shed blood. The sixth wonder of the world is the destruction of sin. I'm looking forward to that day. You see all the tragedy that happens in the world around us? It is all a result of sin because of the evil that's in this world. We see death, we see the graves, we see the devil, and all of his evil that will be gone forever. I will never, ever have to preach another funeral sermon. I will never have to stand at the head of a casket again in some funeral home. Never again will you have to fear death and being separated from your loved ones. Sin and sinners will be no more. Death will be gone forever. And that's what 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10 has to say for each one of us. That when Jesus comes, he's going to put an end to this forever and ever. Never again will we have to struggle with this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. I can't even read my own writing today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse number 7. It says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. In verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. I want you to notice verse 9. Now, I know there are people that think that when you sin, you go to some place in hell and you stay there for eternity, writhing in pain and agony. But that's not what the scriptures teach. There's no such place. There is a total annihilation for sin and sinners. God wipes the earth clean of all of that evil. And look at verse 9. They will be punished with everlasting destruction. That is not talking about torment for eternity. It's talking about a total annihilation of sin and sinners so that they never exist again. It will never rise up one more time. Never again. It will not raise its head up again. And God has promised that to all of us. And after this 1,000 years, we see the second resurrection taking place, and the wicked will be raised for the judgment to face God. Those who refuse to give their heart and life fully to Christ will be shut out of God's presence forever. That is total destruction, friends. And may God grant each one of us the grace that we need so that we can escape this verdict when it comes to the world. The seventh wonder of this world is God's kingdom that has no end. You look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse number 24, it says, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, which he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Death. It is death, praise God. We never have to fear it again. In verse 27, "For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all." There's coming a time, friends, when there is going to be an end to everything that we know in this world. And God is bringing something into this world that is much better than anything we could experience today. Much better than all of the material things that we gather in our life. All of those things are going to burn when Jesus comes. He's coming with this fiery vengeance, and he's going to burn this earth. He's going to cleanse it of all evil and sin. So all of those little bitty kingdoms that we have resurrected for ourselves in our own private life, all that stuff is going to melt with fervent heat. It will every bit of it burn. And that convinces me that we need to have some different priorities in life. That God's kingdom must have preeminence in our life. Because when New Jerusalem comes down to this earth, the earth who has been full of evil and sorrow, there is going to be a cleansing that will take place. The earth will be redeemed and cleansed and purified of everything that the devil has brought into this world. There'll be no more death. There's not going to be any more tears. There's not going to be any more sorrow or pain. And all of these things have passed away according to Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 and 4. All of it is going to be gone. And I just say praise God for that, that it all has disappeared. All of the struggles that you and I go through are all going to be gone. Can you think of what life would be like without that? Without any trouble, without any struggles in life, without any problems ever being in your life? Can you imagine a time in your life where it will be peace and joy and happiness forever and ever? No disappointment, no discouragement, no depression, no anxiety, nothing to cause you stress, nothing but happiness and joy throughout eternity. Praise God. Praise God that he has thought ahead and he has prepared a place just for you. Today, won't you make preparation to be in that kingdom that Jesus has offered to you? Come to Jesus today. Leave all of your troubles behind. so that you can leave today with confidence in Jesus Christ and his promise of a better world and a better life. Won't you make that profession today? How many of you want to go to heaven with Jesus today? Thank you. Praise God. Let's have prayer. Heavenly Father, forgive us of our sins and cleanse us through the blood of Jesus. Father, send the Holy Spirit to speak to us and convict us of things that need to change in our life. Help us, Lord, so that when you come back to this earth, we will be ready to go to heaven with you. Thank you for your love to each one of us. And Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, who has brought salvation to us. We pray that today his blood would be covering our sins. Send your Holy Spirit to convict us and empower us. In Jesus' name, amen.